From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences his next message in a series on the Holy Spirit. The text is Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, where God says, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh." In introducing the subject of the Holy Spirit's restraining influence in the world, Dr. Cairns emphasizes that though the human race is totally depraved, the Holy Spirit keeps men back from being as wicked as they might otherwise be. This is an exercise of what is called common grace, that which keeps the world from being plunged into total anarchy. Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of the message shortly. First, here's a devotional thought from Faith Checkbook, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Close Fellowship. The text is Jeremiah 31 and verse 34. "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord." Truly, whatever else we do not know, we know the Lord. This day is this promise true in our experience, and it is not a little one. The least believer among us knows God in Christ Jesus. Not as fully as we desire, but yet truly and really we know the Lord. We not only know doctrines about Him, but we know Him. He is our Father and our friend. We are acquainted with Him personally. We can say, "My Lord and my God." We are on terms of close fellowship with God, and many a happy season do we spend in His holy company. We are no more strangers to our God, but the secret of the Lord is with us. This is more than nature could have taught us. Flesh and blood has not revealed God to us. Christ Jesus has made known the Father to our hearts. If then the Lord has made us to know Himself, is not this the fountain of all saving knowledge? To know God is eternal life. So soon as we come to acquaintance with God, we have the evidence of being quickened into newness of life. O my soul, rejoice in this knowledge, and bless thy God all this day.
For me, who causes pain.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Great Revival, which took place in Ulster in 1859, a moving of God's Holy Spirit which saw literally thousands of people swept into the kingdom of God. Five of our Free Presbyterian ministers will deal with various aspects of the revival. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church. In this issue, you'll read about the life and ministry of the Reverend John Wiley. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And what is the greatest need of the church today? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com. Thank you.
words of our text this morning are in Genesis 6 and verse 3. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." For the last few weeks we have been having some studies in the person and work of the Holy Spirit of God. And in pursuing those studies this morning, we come to what a recent American writer has properly described as one of the Spirit's least recognized, but one of his most far-reaching activities. I'm referring to what we may call the non-saving operations of the Holy Ghost among the ungodly. Now let's just stop and let that sink in, for it is something that is not very often looked at. And indeed, to read most books on the subject, to hear most preaching, you would imagine there was no such thing. So many people imagine that the only work of the Holy Spirit in the world is the application of the work of redemption. Now, we'll come to that in due time. It's a very, very important work. But in some ways, providing a platform for that work, there is the general work of the Holy Ghost in the world, even among the ungodly. Work that is not of a saving nature, but nonetheless is of a very important nature. This brings us into what theologians call the area of common grace. Now that's a wonderful term. I'm not going to get into it today. There's a lot of argument even over the very use of the words. But the term is used to convey the gracious dealings of the Lord in the world that are short of salvation. Now let me explain to you. For instance, God bestows much good in a world that is full of enmity to Him. If you turn over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, you'll find the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 44. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 44 tells us to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So there is much good that is not of a saving nature, but it's very essential to the continuance even of life in this world. There is much good that God, by His grace and by His Spirit, bestows upon all men. We can take this even further. The Bible teaches something that at first sound appears to be somewhat difficult to comprehend. And that is that the Lord enables unregenerate men, wicked men, to do things that are good. And by good I mean good in a relative sense. Good in a temporal sense, not in a spiritual sense. For instance, you've got the example of Jehu over in 2 Kings chapter 10. Now we're told specifically in verse 31 that Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart, and that he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. Now that's a very categoric statement. Jehu was a man who did not take any heed to walk in the law of God. And yet the previous verse gives us these words. The Lord said unto Jehu, thou hast done well in executing that which is right in mine eyes. You see, even ungodly men at times do things which we have to say are in a certain sense good. They're certainly better than some of the alternatives that they may have chosen. And the reason for this is, as we see, that the Lord enabled them so to do. You find the same truth in Matthew 5 again, and the words of the Lord Jesus in verse 46. He tells his people, if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? Even the publicans, even the ungodly, he says, do certain things that in themselves are praiseworthy and good. In Romans chapter 2, Paul goes even further, and he says that there is a sense in which even the heathen, without having the written law of God in their hand, nonetheless do the things that are written in the law, because God has inscribed it on their heart. So this is the area of common grace, where God bestows good even upon his enemies, and where God enables even his wicked enemies to work in such a fashion that the whole fabric of society is enabled to continue and not to sink to the very depths of hell without a moment's delay. But there's one aspect of God's workings in what we call common grace that's particularly mentioned in the Word of God as being the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's that work that I want us to consider today. Our text is speaking of it. We're thinking of the Holy Spirit as the restrainer of sin and evil in the world. Now this text in Genesis 6 and 3 is one of the most famous statements of the restraining influence of the Holy Ghost anywhere found in the Bible. And I want us today to relate it not merely to the days of Noah, but to the whole book of God. And I want us to see something of the teaching of the Bible on the work of the Holy Ghost as the restrainer. And I have three very simple observations to make. Number one, in an evil world, the Holy Spirit exercises a ministry of restraint. Now let's start right at the bottom. It's a fundamental truth of the Bible that because of the fall of Adam, human nature is now totally depraved. Now let's understand the teaching of the Bible here first, so that we can progress to what our text is teaching. Total depravity. That is the absolute inability to do that which is spiritually good and meritorious in the sight of God. The inability to originate any inclination of heart toward God or toward the things of God. Rather, an inclination of heart always away from God, toward self, toward sin, downward rather than upward. The total depravity of human nature affects the nature of man. It affects every faculty of man. It affects every department of human existence. Now the Bible teaches it in the most unequivocal terms. We read in Genesis 6 verse 5 that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now that was God's summary of man before the flood. Turn to Genesis 8 verse 21. And you will see that here is God's summary of man after the flood. the middle of Genesis 8:21. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Notice that little part of the verse. The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now let's just stop to let the full import of those words sink in. The heart is deceitful. Now that's a terrible statement in itself. The heart is very deceitful. That would be a stronger statement. But the heart is deceitful above all things. That is a statement that means only one thing. It is dealing with total depravity. A heart that is absolutely deceitful above everything else. Isaiah 1, the last part of verse 5 and into verse 6, gives a very graphic description of this depravity. The whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Here you have God's statement. He's picturing a body that's racked by sinful disease. And he's saying this is the picture of a soul, the head, the mind, depraved by sin, the heart, the will, the affections, the emotions, the sensibilities, depraved by sin. The feet, that's the walk, the conduct, the character, depraved by sin. And the result is that every putrefying sore of a sinful and wicked action that men take and that may be seen upon their character is the result of a nature that is inbred and inborn, a nature of sin. Now I want you to get that this is what the Bible is teaching. It certainly is something that's out of line with what men teach. We live in a day when the prevailing philosophy among men, whether they understand the philosophy or whether they don't, whether they know the ins and the outs of the big words that the thinkers use, the prevailing philosophy among men is what we call existentialism, which has as its basic position that man is not born with any moral nature whatsoever, but he merely does things, and his character, his nature, is the result of what he's doing, rather than the other way around. But we say this from the Word of God, that whatever men say, God says the nature is totally corrupt. Isaiah 48 and 8 puts it very simply at the last line of the verse, thou wast called a transgressor from the womb. Now you can't go much further back than that.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.